face in word and doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Other thought, he said, these men are full of new wine. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. This day of remembrance, as the Sabbath is after creation, it was the day to remember thy wonderful works, the works of glory, the works of glorifying thyself, like Psalm 92 teaches us. It's a day for thee. Oh, that this day might be separated from the days of the world and the days of the week to a day of thee. A day of rest, resting from all evil works, in thy works only, the great works of thee. It's a day of remembrance when we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the third person of thee. O Holy Spirit, thou hast come to dwell as the other comforter among us, that it might be also in us. Not only among us only, but that thou mightest dwell in us, taken with thee like we read in John, the Father and the Son, that we might have that experience and knowledge of being reconciled with a triune God. Oh, what would that be a wonder? We read in this portion of the scripture that they were so joyous, glorious indeed, that the world said they are dearthruck. They didn't know the difference between the joy which is in thee and the peace which is by thee, and the joy of the world. Oh, but the joy in thee, Lord, for grace, is way more than every joy in the world, just a little bit of it. Spoils us for every fun, like they say today, in the world. Oh, we pray that thy Spirit might dwell among us and in us, explaining and applying the word, taking it out of thy Son and applying it to thy church, that at peace that is might be among us and in us, that peace surpassing all understanding. Oh, we ask for wonders, but thou art a wondrous God and wonder-doing God. We thank thee, Lord, also for Alan and the baby Charity. All went well. Thou hast not done according to what we deserve in paradise, and taken away the mother and the child. But thou hast given mercy, charity, in an outward, and that it might be also in an inward sense, that there might be in the house of Vanderbilt a humbling glorifying of thee by the children, the father and the mother. Lord, we pray, bless this family outwardly and inwardly, that they might be a blessing in their neighborhood, where they live, where they work. Oh, bless other families among us. Lord, that we might be given to be the salt, that we might be given to be the seed, that we might be given to be thy light, that thou hast said to the church that they should walk as lights, shined upon by the light, in the midst of a crooked nation. Oh, we don't deserve it. But Lord, it's not for any merit of man. It's only by the great works of thee in Christ through the Holy Spirit. We pray for those who were sent out of the congregation, the family omen. Niels had a bitter experience this week, given strength and courage to continue, and take away all the hindrances made by it in his life. Lord, we pray that he might look unto thee, go on his knees to be helped by thee, that the outcome might be that it could be. We pray, Lord, for Adrian. And the work of Farrell Institute is wondrous, that thou art sending students from all over, which thou hast prepared sometimes in a very silent, lonely spot. And now art thou bringing them to that institute. They need teachers. We pray for Edward, that he might be given to go there to teach the languages. And we pray for all those who are asking to be taught, Lord, by other doctors in theology, while asking to join for our institute. Oh, we are marveled by it. And there is some hope in our hearts that thou wilt work in our days of work which no one has heard of. Lord, remember mine to move. We pray for all the endeavors for support. We pray, Lord, that thou might give financial support. They need it. And there is enough with thee. But we ask that it might be given to glorify thee. We pray, Lord, for all the work thou hast done and art doing. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for Jerry Mines when he was installed this week as a missionary of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church to go to Suriname. We pray that he might not forget his own past, that he might be led into the truth, that he might be a means in that old colony of the Dutch nation, Suriname. Lord, remember his wife and children. We pray, oh, remember us in the church in which we are. Remember the school. We have seen the graduation this week. Remember the young people leaving the threshold of the school, going across the threshold to another, a future. Lord, we ask thee that they might be given a heart of prayer, a life of grace. We pray also for Paul. When he is this last Sunday amongst us, we pray that thou mightest guard, teach, and lead him. Lord, that he might be a seed to die in the earth, to be fruitful in thy kingdom. Oh, we bring all the needs unspoken of, and the needs known, all the sorrows, but also all the joys before thee. Oh, that it might be to thy glory in thy Son Jesus Christ, even our best works, works of thankfulness can stand before thee. Cover us, therefore, with thy love, with thy blood, thy righteousness, the cloak of thy mercy. Lord, open us the scriptures, might it be, and that we might be a mouthpiece of thee this morning to preach, to teach, especially to glorify thee. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we see again in the book of Acts the dealings of the Lord. And we have said many a time that the Lord always promises before he fulfills. We always see in the Old Testament concerning the birth of Jesus Christ that Isaiah, 600 years before Christ was born, prophesied about his sufferings, his death and resurrection. We know that the Lord always promises before he fulfills a promise. Why? That we today would know that his word is faithful. No. That he is faithful. And therefore, his word is reliable as the only truth in this world. Oh, young people, You studied a lot of books at school, amen. And probably you're going to study a lot of books again. But this is the book of books. And if it's not according to this book, to the Bible, the Word of God, it won't have a dawn. Therefore, my dear children, when you're going to new schools, new areas of study, make this, by the grace of God, that's only grace, your only rule for life and death. Your only rule for science. Your only rule for behavior. Your only rule for true living. Scripture. That's important, I think. The Word of God is reliable. Because what he says, he does. Even in the Hebrew, the same word for word and deed is the same. Dabar. Dabar. That's the word for word and deed. What God says, he does. He says there is light and there was light. Sometimes there is a distance between what he says and what he does. Sometimes 600 years, but you see here, some days, 10 days, he promised to send the Spirit. And he goes by the same pattern, and he sends the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, we'll look to both of it, because I think the promise is important for the explanation of the fulfilled promise. We have to keep them both together. You have always to keep the Old Testament together with the New Testament. Christ preached in the Old Testament. And some have said to me, evangelicals to say today, that you don't need the Old Testament. But listen, the apostles had only the Old Testament. And they were preaching the words, says Paul to Timothy, which were the Old Testament concerning Christ. It's the fulfillment of God. Great works of the living God in Christ Jesus. Pentecost. Pentecost congregation means the 50th or the 50th day after Passover. It was the 50th day after the Israelites left Egypt, had a Passover and went into the desert. In the 50th day, they came near the Sinai. And on the 50th day, God gave his law, the Torah. Let's say the first 5 books of Moses. On the Sinai. He gave the law, writing them in stone tablets. But the day must be fulfilled. We saw last week that the Lord Jesus said, I came not to unloose and untie the law, break it down, but I came to fulfill it. You know that in the Old Testament, the Bible says there will be in the last day a new covenant. I will write, not on stone tablets, but I will write my law in your hearts and make you to walk in my ways. Now, which law? Well, let's look what they were testifying in chapter 2. They were all amazed because they heard him speak about the great works of God, the Magnalia Dei, the great works of God. Said here in the King James Version, and that's true, the wonderful works of God. What's the gospel? The wonderful works. gospel isn't cooperation. The gospel is preaching the wonderful works of God. In creation first. That's before we speak about recreation. But in recreation, about the wonderful works of God. This is the gospel. Some always explain the word promise, and I've said it sometimes, as something that's prophecy to come. But the word in original means promise. What God does, that's promise. I promise you a new bike. It means I buy it and I give it to you. Promise is what someone does. They spoke the great works of God. But no one said the Lord, when he looks on 15, you can see it in Romans 3, doing good. And now my own arm, Christ, prepares salvation. And Christ's merited at the merits and in his life. It's a great work. But another great work by the third person of the Trinity is to apply it to souls. That we, in the works of the Lord Jesus, can stand as an ungodly before God. The wonderful or the great Mahalia, the great things, works of God. Well, congregation, there was a question by the disciples, and you don't understand sometimes. Sometimes said, and blame them for the question. Because in Acts 1 they say, when wilt thou restore the kingdom to Israel? What do they mean? Well, they meant that it was a promise in the Old Testament that once the son of David would sit everlasting on the throne of David. They asked for restoration of the theocracy by the Messiah. And it has to come. And it will come. Because God will give a new earth and a new heaven. And Christ sitting at the right hand. He's already in heaven, governing. But it will be manifest in a new heaven and new earth. God will repair his kingdom. And there won't be sin anymore. And he will be with them everlasting. And shine upon them. No sun anymore. And no sin anymore. No sea anymore. No afflictions anymore. No death. No pain and no sorrow anymore. When? Do you know this question is not a question of unbelief. It's a question of desire. When will thou restore the kingdom in Israel amongst thy people? Now, well, the Lord Jesus doesn't say, I won't. He says that there is a way into it. That's the kingdom of grace before the kingdom of glory. And therefore he says, that's in the hands of my Father. I even don't know when. It's my sovereign Father who has it in his hands. He knows when that kingdom will come. I think unexpectedly, as a thief in the night, and wonders. There will be signs. Surely there will be signs. But unexpectedly, we'll see the signs of the kingdom of God. And it will be there. We'll see it. You can come in if you want, or Jerry. But there is a way into it. And the kingdom of glory is always preceded by the kingdom of grace. And this what Christ is saying, that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I will gather first my people out of not only the Jews, but of the Gentiles. It will be one flock and one shepherd that's preceding the kingdom of glory. And he said, you are means unto it. He said, but. It will come, but he said, but. Ye shall receive the power to do this. You will be powerful, says it. By your own strength, though, is that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Your strength won't be your strength, but the strength of the third person of the Trinity. Not your wisdom, but divine wisdom. Not your plans, but God's design. And you will have, says he, a powerful ministry. After the Holy Ghost came upon you. One thing. Luther says that the Spirit is in the Word. I don't believe it. It's I'm not a Lutheran. Surely the Word is breathed by God, inspired. But I'm Calvinistic and I believe that the Spirit is separate from the Word. Word without Spirit is in vain. We need first Spirit and then the Word to explain it, to remember. That's what the Lord Jesus said, and to apply it. Now you see here that the Spirit has to come upon the servant. He has to be anointed. The Spirit has to dwell in him. That he by the Spirit might preach powerfully. Not by reasoning or philosophy. But by using the Word of God, Spirit and Word together. So after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you will receive the power. You know what they said about the Lord Jesus? That he was teaching not as the Pharisees and the scribes, but with power. Mighty in words. God gives his people, his servants, not only to have it formed, but to use the sword to be his hearts. Not only to tell the truth, but by the ministry, by the Holy Ghost, applying to souls, you will receive power, not only to preach the gospel. That's what Huntington says. He says, a true minister has the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see the application of it in the souls of his hearers. Or say it different, more plain, that you are in church and you don't hear the minister, but the voice of the Lord. Might be rebuking, might be piercing, killing, cutting down, or restoring, anointing, blessing. My dear congregation, what I'm saying is this. We need doctrines. But we need, above all, the doctrines of the Word of God to apply it into our hearts. The wonderful works of the mighty and the great works of God. And therefore, in the office formulas, it said that office bearers, and read it at home, should be full of the Holy Ghost. Unconverted office bearers is the cemetery of a congregation. They start to reason, to talk, but they are not instruments of the Holy Ghost. We always discern, and I think that's true, the Spirit might dwell in you, but you need time and again the anointing of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit. And you know what I mean. There is a heaviness in the congregation. There is a sense of the presence of God. There is a word that pierces or comforts. And ultimately, there is glory of God. How poor you might be and how impossible to be saved, you know the Lord is there. That's what Paul said. And therefore, they couldn't go out unless they had received the Holy Ghost coming upon them. They had to wait. For what? To be witnesses. Witnesses in the first place of Christ. Boy, that's for me or about me. It's not only of me. Paul says, to whom I belong and whom I serve. He speaks about his ministry. But it's said here, for me or about me, witness about me. If our ministry is not Christ-centered, it has to be the Trinity passage. Of which the whole Old and New Testament speak. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Speak, witness, about me. Paul says, I only speak Christ the priest and him crucified. Not the Christian, although a Christian should be priest. Christ is never without a Christian. But you know what Paul says? He has to be lifted up young. And he will draw sinners into hell. Preaching is lifting up the banner of the gospel of Jesus. And if he is lifted up, the poorest among his people is filled. About me. But congregation, not only about me, but also about my works. If you are a minister, then you can talk about the work of the Holy Spirit applying Christ to your soul by a cutting law and a fulfilled gospel. Don't go out to preach because you're deceiving souls. About me. He will take it out of me and apply it or give it to the congregation. That's the work of the Spirit. Yeah, the Lord can use a man which is unconverted pastor. Yeah, I know. But that's not the way in which the apostles speak about it. It's more against them. But the biblical way is
You receive the Holy Ghost as the first person of the Trinity. Now, do you know what you need to know then? That you're called out of darkness. That you're forgiven. And that it's sealed with the Holy Ghost of the promise. That's what the Bible says. Pastor, you're preaching high standards. Listen, everything of God is high. And I can't grasp it. The least thing which is of God, we can't grasp. I'm not speaking high standards. I'm speaking a poor sinner saved by the wondrous works of God. Now what I'm saying is, there might be in your life the knowledge of the forgiveness of sin, but is there in your life also the knowledge of the sealing of the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying that God didn't give it to you because He gives it once for all. But is there a knowledge of it? I believe Pentecost is the most unknown spiritually seen. Of the feasts, of the remembrance days. I believe the Holy Ghost, to be honest with you, is the most unknown person in many a church. Now I have to discern, and I'll do it shortly. The first thing in regeneration is the operation of the Holy Ghost. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. But the last third person of the Trinity is given after being forgiven. After you believed, says Paul, you received the Holy Ghost of promise. And do you know what I believe? The powerless of the church today is the lack of the knowledge of the third person. And relying as a naked fool only upon Him in His words. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't study. But it means that when we study, we know nothing if it's not applied. Now come upon you, the Spirit upon the servants preaching the word powerfully. Because He said, you will be my witnesses. So the Spirit upon the person preaching the word powerfully, power, because you will be my witnesses. His promise is a promise. He doesn't say, you have to be my witness. Under the law, if you're a Christian. You're according to the law, but not under the law. There's a power of fear that didn't receive again the power of fear, but the spirit of adoption by which you cry, Abba, Father. You don't have to witness like Jehovah Witnesses by a pile of papers, 25 cents. Send them to all the doors. Do you know what Christ says? If you're mine, I make you my witness. Where? At school. In the class. On your business. You don't need to be at theological school to be a witness of Christ. You know what I believe we need today? Managers. Spirit. Any revival started from the in Haiti, crying about her sins, and God moved souls by His Spirit. But revival is normally carried on by the witness of the people of God. Now he speaks to the apostle, yeah. But later on in Joel it said, not only the old, but also the young, not only the man, but also women will be witnesses. Not called to an office, but be witnesses of the wonderful works of God in the soul of Christ. If you are going to speak and not praying while you speak, forget about it. You know what preaching is? Move my tongue, my heart, according to thy word. Don't think about it, what you have to say, says the apostle. When you will be in prison or in churches where they will persecute you, the Holy Spirit will give it, make it known to you in the time you need it. And if you are a Christian, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes you tell a witness which you never imagined yourself. Now I'm saying probably strange things, the pulpit has taught me more of the Word of God in practice while preaching. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, we should ask for the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the third person, no less than the second. No less than the first. It's He. The Holy Spirit is come upon you. Not a power. Power is given to you when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, the third person of the Trinity. And you will be my witnesses. I'll give you an opportunity to speak this week. Someone is ringing at your door. Or you met him in the mall. Or there's a young man coming out of school and talking to you. Or there's a teacher. I tell you this week I heard something of Neely. Great. The family in Ottawa found on internet sermons of Spurgeon. But more, they started to teach themselves the whole scripture out of Matthew Henry. Never heard about it. They got the books. And then they got the books of Arthur Pink. Never went to church, reading home. And they heard about the sovereignty of God. And they heard about the Run Institute. And says, I think I have to study there for a minute. Never been to church. And Adrian said, so remarkable. God leading His people. In these dark days, sometimes even outside of the institutes, the churches, or the church, God established His body on earth and coming into it. You know what He said? Election is the comfort of a sinner. You can hardly hear it in our circles today. You will be my witnesses. I'll put your silver into a back. Grand Rapids or Malawi, and I'll make you my witness, or in that school or in a family as a grandfather. Lord, make me thy witness. I'm not able. I have a closed mouth sometimes, so many times. But let my mouth praise thee and be a means of mercy. Listen again. Now I have to be it. If it is after, forget it. But I'll make you in due time my witness. Then Pentecost. God determines the time. And then he comes in his time, the 50th day. If you look carefully to this Pentecost gospel here, the word of God, you see in the first place that he fulfilled the time. And then he filled the house, and then he filled the hearts. First the time. When the time of Pentecost was fully come, the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place waiting upon the Lord. And I didn't let read the chapter or the portion where Matthias was called to be the 12th apostle. But why did they do it? In anticipation of the promise. Peter said, the Bible said that someone should take his office, his bishopric, because God is filling us. And we need to be 12. Anticipation, waiting upon the promise of God, doesn't make us lazy. They were busy. Now, some have said he did it too soon. I don't think so. Paul was the 13th apostle for the heathens with a special mission. Now, the day was come. The 50th day, I said before, and I'm not going into details today, but it was the day when the law was given, and now God writes the law in the hearts of the people, the new covenant, and makes them to walk in it. Therefore, the other comforter. Someone said the comfort is in Christ, in the gospel, taking away the guilt of sin, but the comfort is also in sanctification. God makes his people to walk. If you go to do it yourself, it won't work. As a dead, weak, and able sinner, without Christ, you can do nothing. Sanctification is gospel too. Sanctification is not a law in the sense of a fear. It's gospel. We have dealt with it last week. That's the new covenant, the other comfort. Well, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly. Now, when God comes, he always comes suddenly, in the twinkle of an eye. Do you know why? That it might be a wonder. When God visits your soul, he comes while you're waiting for it, but he comes suddenly. And you know what I'm saying. Sometimes you're busy in your business, and he enters it. He breaks it down. Suddenly. He came to by closed doors. Suddenly. It's always the dealing of God. Twinkle of an eye. Yeah, but it was the 50th day. And yet, suddenly, God's people know what I'm saying. There he is. And when he comes, he has all things with him. You're listening. You're listening to the church telephone. And there he comes. Suddenly. Or in church. Or on your knees. Or reading the Bible. Or laying on your bed. sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You receive the power. What's power? A rushing mighty wind. The power of the Spirit. Signified by a rushing, powerful wind. In Europe, we didn't have that much tornadoes. But you know what wind can do. It moves everything. A rushing, powerful wind. Sound. Voice. As a rushing witness. Powerful. Mighty. It's the sound. It's not a wind. It's the witness being used by the Holy Spirit powerfully. Came from heaven. The origin is in heaven. It's not in man. Suddenly, the wind is the breath of the Holy Ghost. Can come suddenly, in due time, when God says it has to be there. And it moves the congregation and they started to cry and to weep, and to beg, and being delivered. Takes away every power of man, but replaces it by the power of God. Listen, if it suddenly there is from our side no preparation, they are waiting, but not helping a bit, it's coming down. And it filled the whole house. It's remarkable. It filled the house in which they were. Now listen, what does it mean? It means first that they were in the Spirit. The wind. Why I say this is for a reason. Some people say, I have the Spirit and now I. If the church is in Christ and in the Spirit, in a real God, God does and uses it. For myself, I can do anything. If the seed doesn't die in the earth, it stays to be alone. It's the Spirit who moves in which the church is. In paradise, we were in God, isn't it? And God breathed. Some have said he breathed the soul into the nostrils. I believe he breathed his Spirit into the nostrils and he created the soul. It's the breath of God, the Ruach. Spirit is wind. Spirit is spirit. Him, I will make you my witness. You don't need to be yourself to make yourself. I'll move you where you need to be. And I'll use you even if you don't know it. But you are in me and I am in you. Some people think that they just as a human piece of dust can move God. God moves. tree, there was another sign. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared not only the ear, but also the eye. God addresses the senses. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, cloven tongues, it's in the Greek originally this. The tongues were distributed. That's the word. Now you understand better. It's one fire. But on everyone a tongue. You know? It's one spirit. But it has to be on everyone, personally. It's not only the Spirit dwelling among them, but the Spirit being upon every one of them. You need the personal knowledge and the personal power and unction of the Holy Spirit as one of the whole. You're baptized by the Spirit into one body, says Paul. Yeah? Somebody said there were cloven tongues. I don't believe it. There were tongues. But they were distributed upon every one of them as the one of the fire. It was a fire. Yeah, for the eye. For the sign, eh? When you go to Holland here, they will show you in the museum that big fire, I think, in the days of Ferralti, which took away a third or a fourth of the whole city. And nothing could stand against fire. Which can stand against fire? Only gold, silver, stones, precious ones. You know what I believe? If God starts to work here, He will incite a fire. Which cleanses. Which is warmth, light to live. It will burn every man. Make religion die. And you saw it. Fiery tongues. There were signs accompanying the gift because, and there appeared, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Book of Acts. Not only the Holy Ghost is in you, but there is a difference between filled with the Ghost and being the Ghost living in you, and you in the Spirit. You see, time and again, when Paul was filled with the Spirit, he started to preach. You know, in Corinth, he didn't dare to preach, but then Titus came, and when Titus came, they were filled with the Spirit. They started to preach. Was filled with the Spirit. It's special experience. It's having liberty and freedom. And Christ lives in them, resting in God. Joy and peace. Brokenness of heart. And the honor of God upon your soul. It's joy unspeakable. It's a peace. That you always understand. But it's more. If that's there, you can't keep your mouth. They'll be seen by cloven tongues and heard by rushing wind. You know what I'm saying? Even if the stones, if you won't speak, the stones will do it, says the Bible. loving care for poor souls and the glory of God. Do you know what felt? Felt is this. It's a glass. And felt originally means overfelt. And when the people of God are overfelt, God is coming out with the flame talk. How do you know? And they gave utterance like the Spirit gave the utterance. Then my mouth will be full of the praise of God, of the glory of the Lord. A broken heart and a contrite spirit crying with joy, preaching the Mahanavia Day, the great works of God in Christ. You know what filled means? Overfilled. You can't keep it inside. Oh, what a sad situation sometimes in the church, isn't it? Even among the people of God, they can't keep it inside. When was the last time that you couldn't keep God inside anymore? Not that you had the preacher, but that you couldn't leave stopping speaking about God. When was the last night that you talked about God in Christ to your husband? When was there in your family the last impression when you were filled with God? Oh, what a sad situation of many a child of God, that they are like dead stones. I'm not saying the Spirit doesn't and isn't operating in you, but you're not filled with it anymore. You've grieved the spirits and hurt your God. And when you're filled with the Spirit, God makes you His witness of the great works of God. And my dear congregation, there was a pastor, he says, does the pulpit bring you to the sermon? That's not good. Or does the sermon bring you to the pulpit? Does the pulpit bring you to the Word of God? Or does the Word of God bring you to the pulpit? Do you know the difference? Do you need to teach at school religion? And therefore you study it. Children of Christian education, I have to talk. Is it always after? Is it never been a privilege? Has it never been out of the fullness of your heart that your tongue was speaking? Pastor, I can't speak. Not the disciples didn't dare to. They were behind shut doors, closed doors. But when the Spirit came, do you know what he said? Are not these all Galileans? Are not those these of the Lord Jesus? And they didn't fear persecution. They thought and look at the book of Acts, boldness. Fold of their enemies. But all people of God today, sometimes I'm afraid, while we know to talk about everything, but we're Adamahaliate, the eternal love of God the Father who gave His Son. How should our mouth be full of it and our love abounding in it? And if we are witnesses of the forgiveness of sin, how should we witness it to our grandchildren that they need it? And if we have known by the works of the convicting power of Spirit that we were desperate, accepted judgment, why don't you warn your children that they are going to the judgment seat? But if you talk with the natural faith and natural head, it doesn't make any impression. Where was the last time that you couldn't let your children go before they slept? Where was the last time that you were a witness of the works of God in your soul? Where was the last time that it pierced your own heart and the hearts of your children? Where was the last time? Or is he a poor, miserable sinner? He said, Pastor, I had it never. I know what you're saying. I think I'm a stone man, not having a flesh heart. I don't know what it is to have an impression. Then today is the day of Pentecost. And there were 3,000 religious, laws, legalistic people from all area proselytes. And the Spirit fell upon them and pierced their hearts by the ministry of Peter. He said, you are murderers of Jesus. You are too. If you don't believe in Him, you're a murderer of Him. Every word is a sword in His heart. My dear congregation, Him who is the judge is today the Savior. He offers peace and pardon. It might be as dirty as mud, as cruel as Nero, as hard as rock as gray diamonds. It might be as unbelieving as the world. But I'm preaching the marvelous works of my God. He uses the word as a hammer to break in pieces the heart's heart by His love. And He anoints a crying soul with the goodness. He applies the works of the Savior to a mischief. And a mischievous person. He says, oh, embody, love of sin, sinner, be clothed with my righteousness, which I lay aside at the cross. I was naked that you might be clothed with the robes of righteousness. I shed my blood that you might be covered with it. My dear, He's coming this morning with a small voice. He says, come, ye to me, to full of labors, the sins, powerless, condemned. For my yoke is light. My burden is light and my yoke is soft. Come. With the burdens of your soul, the sins of your past, be a comfort to me. You know what the Bible says? It's free. It doesn't cost a penny. If you're thirsty, drink. If you have no money, buy. If you're unworthy, oh, that you might believe in me. Come. Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Nothing. Repent. Tell the gift to God. Repent, cry. If you sin, forsake everything and believe in me, who finished the work, the Maravilla Day, the wondrous works of God. Do you know what happened on Pentecost? And 3,000 were added to the congregation. Congregation, I was among you for 2.5 years. Now you add it to the congregation. That it might be this morning. By the anointing power of the Spirit, taking it out of Jesus, preaching it to your poor soul. Oh, what will it be? Young people, I've seen you walking across. You warned that they had no time. And now I'm warning you. Did you have a heartbeat any time? Yeah. You talked that only in the righteousness of Christ you can meet God. And I'm talking it to you. This night. This morning. Didn't God knock at your door? Didn't He anoint you with the goodness of His house? Young people, you're on the threshold, eh? You close the year. You're going to a new future. Oh, that it might be in Christ. That it might be in Christ. Ready to die. And ready to live. Yeah, but you need to be 80 to be converted. Ah, people. They were converted on the day. And there's an earthly minister saying, after probably the 3,000 were not all true converted. Not the Bible says they were. They were added to the congregation. To the number of elect. 3,000. They were elected, Pastor Sure, but they were added to the visible church, to the member, to the body of Christ. Repenting. And you will be my witnesses. There are white spots on the map. A white spot is Quebec. Almost no missionaries. 6 million people have never heard the gospel. Yeah, they can hear it by the radio. Yeah, I know. A white spot in China. But when the last spot will be filled with the preaching of the gospel, this church will vanish. The building will collapse. The sun will be darkened. The moon will be red. And we'll see Christ coming back to restore the kingdom of God, to be judge of heaven and earth. Yeah. Oh, serious life. Heaven, one soul to lose. Oh, serious life. Children, if you're not converted, don't make fun. If you're not converted, don't spoil life. If you're not in Christ, you're on the most dangerous spot. You better never have heard the gospel. My son, if you're leaving and you're not converted, you're your father will testify against him. He will be a witness against him. Congregation, if you're not converted, and we won't meet each other never again. We don't know. We're every day in danger. I will testify against him that I purposely preach the gospel to you, and that I want desire, and it's not my desire, that you might be in Christ, to be saved from your righteousness and all your guilt and sin, to be brought back by the glorious works of God. Pastor, you can't give it, I know. But God might use. He has a mouthpiece. For his glory. The glorious, wondrous works of God. And your salvation. Ah. There is a poor sinner in our midst. He thinks it can never happen to him. Listen. Pastor, I can't walk anymore. Listen, I know a shepherd. He'll carry you. Yeah, that's what I need. And I know David more than him. You know he's inviting people who can't walk and come to him. He says, bring him that he might eat at my table. Bread and wine. Flesh and blood and Mephibosheth was there every day to eat and drink and have peace. Filled. Now the world says you're drunk. It's not reality. But I know, says Paul, in whom I believe. And you will know it when the Spirit has come upon you. May God bless you all. Have a blessed Pentecost. And ask for the inner operations of the Holy Ghost. Because knowledge condemns. But love edifies. Amen. Lord, thou hast brought us again to this spot. Thou hast given us to be a witness. And we ask that thou mightest move the youngest among us, starting to cry, weep, being hurt by their own sins, can't bear it anymore. Ah, Lord, what we need in our congregation and in this city and in the nation is a revival of true conversions. It seems to be a revival today of temporal faith, receiving it immediately with joy, but never being out of hope, never being condemned, never being brought to the judge of heaven or earth spiritually to die. And we pray that thou mightest restore it. Lord, and if it's thy will, I don't know, but if it would be Quebec, some hope in my poor soul for it. But let's not boast. Let's wait. Let's wait. Repent. Oh, give us that true repentance. That evangelical repentance of which we are ashamed before thee and each other, hating sin, loving righteousness, seeking to walk in God-fearing. Not according to the measures, desires of the world. Be with us, dear Lord, we ask it. Glorifying thy marvelous works, thy wonderful works, thy great works. Thy works only, it's out of thee, through thee, and it will be unto thee. To thee be the honor.